Bucks fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, as we get closer to just 90 days to opening day. Ira Kaufman, this is his podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. Get a 2022 Ford Bronco 0% financing, Ira, 0% financing through July 5th for 60 months. So 5 years, 0%. These days, you can't get 0% like that. A lot of great offers at BillCurryFord.com, including pre-owned, BillCurryFord.com, nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles, custom order a new vehicle. Maybe you're geared up for a 2024. You can custom order, no deposit. Sean Sullivan, the GM, is going to give you a $500 gift card just for doing it. And they're just awesome at Bill Curry Ford. They're even hiring, Ira. Huge hiring event was going on. Because the construction is almost done. So I saw some of those pictures online. Very exciting for the Giant, as they're nicknamed, is going to be reopening later this year. They're open now, but the whole dealership is going to be jumping into the 22nd century very, very quickly. Ira, really some cool futuristic stuff. And we thank Big Storm Beer, Big Storm Brewing Company. Big Storm Brewing is fantastic, Sage. You know what they had today, Ira? At Big Storm Brewing, I got to hear your reaction to this. But first, how are you?
Doing well, Steve. Had company over the weekend. My son came in from Cleveland suburb with his girlfriend and her 8-year-old daughter. Now, I'm going to say this, and Lee knows what I'm talking about. I don't care who the company is, and this was great company. I don't care who it is, Lee. After 3 days, they got to go. They got to go. That's just the way it is. And plus, you know, we're not used to having an 8-year-old girl. She's driving Cosmo crazy. She's throwing Cosmo in the pool. He doesn't like the water. She's wearing him out. By the time I looked around at 8 o'clock, he couldn't move. He was absolutely exhausted, this Boston Terrier. So we had a good time. I took him up the Crystal River swimming with the manatees. Of course, I paid for 4 people, and I couldn't do it because I got a busted wrist. Can't get it wet. Lee, we go to a pirate ship in Clearwater on Monday because they do face painting and a lot of stuff that she would have liked. And Lee, we pull into the parking lot, Clearwater Marina, and it starts pouring. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. So and we said the heck with it. We got our money back and we went to a Mexican restaurant for 2 hours. That's what you do, Lee. That's what you do.
I bet you would have gone to Lenny's.
That would have been a good choice. And it wouldn't have been that far away. You're right. I'm getting psyched for mandatory minicamp. We're less than a week away. Bowles says everybody's expected to be there. Lee and I are going to be there, and we're going to count the players and make sure all the ducks are in order.
Smoked brisket flatbread special today at the Big Storm Brewing Clearwater Tap Room. We're talking smoked mozzarella, fried capers on top, and of course, like I said, smoked brisket. What do you think of that, Ira?
Steve, I think it's fantastic. If they have that for the Buck opener in Minneapolis, I'm going to be at a Big Storm. I want that on the menu, but you got me salivating already.
All right, I might have to put in a request, but of course, Big Storm Tap Rooms in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Big Storm Brewing, lots of live music, Ira, at the Ebor location. You've been there. Centro Ebor, second floor, live music all weekend long. Follow them on Facebook and other social media, Big Storm Brewing, Ebor City, to see the lineup and the times. Great place. And of course, Tap Room in Odessa, Amway Center in Orlando, Cape Coral, and Big Storm Brewing Beer in your local store. But get to BigStormBrewery.com, check it all out. And Sage, you said the skies opened up. That made me think of Florida's Elite Restoration. Storms are rolling in. They're going to blow your house down. Somebody, unfortunately, in our listening audience and more. It's just the way it happens every year. And you need to know who to call. Florida's Elite Restoration. Floridaselite-restoration.com is there for you to brush up on all the great things they do. Mold remediation specialists. They are licensed. They're not just a mold guy. They know what they're doing. Fire, flood, whatever it is. You call them first before you call your insurance company. They'll help make sure that you don't get ripped off. And that's just straight talk. They'll come out, free evaluation, free assessment. And if you move forward with them and you mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucksfan when you first call, they'll give you $500 back. Maybe that's money toward your deductible or cash back. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Josh Martin and his team, big Bucks fans. They were out at the draft party, hanging with the Sage, giving away $1,000 to our visitors there at the draft party as part of the contest. And they're just great people. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. You gotta watch out, Ira, about that pool. You know, you can't have something happen at Cosmo.
No question about it. I've been thinking about Josh and his gang because, you know, we had an air conditioner leak a couple of weeks ago, and the water was coming out of the PVC pipe, and it got the wall all messed up. And I got to make sure that, you know, it didn't get inside the house. I think I got to give Josh a call. His crew will be out promptly, and whatever they tell me, I will trust in.
Yes, Ira, you absolutely need someone you can trust in your time of need. Florida's Elite Restoration. Sage, it's time to talk some Bucks.
Steve, before we start, just a tidbit. Lee, I just got a text from my good friend, Catherine Smith, former Tampa Tribune colleague, and now doing a great job at Bay News 9. And she sends me a text, Lee, that Rick Peckham, longtime voice of the Lightning, just recently retired a year or two ago, he's at the Tampa Sports Club. He must be giving some kind of a speech. I guess Catherine's over there. In the middle of Rick Peckham's speech, and I don't know the context, he did an impression of me. He did an impression of me while he's giving a speech at the Tampa Sports Club. And she said he did a hell of a job. So, Lee, you know, Tom Jones used to say, people who don't even do impressions of Ira and do them very well. I guess it's the sincerest form of flattery, Lee. I'll take it in that spirit.
Well, hopefully we can get some good audio on that at some point. I do know somebody who knows Rick Peckham, so I'm going to try to make that happen, Ira. We got to hear it. If he's doing it out there, you deserve to hear it.
One day I'm going to get on this podcast, and DeKemper's going to try an impression on me. That'll really blow me away.
All right, Ira, look, Lee, Ira, why is Carlton Davis at One Buck the other day talking about how he wants to bring, quote, new culture to the team?
Well, first of all, he's not the first guy I think of, Lee. If they need a new culture, he's not the first guy I think of that's going to foster it. He's got a ways to go before, in my mind, he's considered an elite player. I don't view him as an elite player. Lee, you like him a little bit better than I do. I think he's a good player, but I'm not sure he's got the personality for it either. I was thinking about leadership with the Bucks. You know, that's why I think Ryan Jensen is critical that he comes back, because, Lee, the best, you know, look, the best player up front is Tristan Wirfs. There's no question about it. But, Lee, you've been around Wirfs a long time, like I have. He's not an outgoing personality. He's not an aggressive personality. And I don't think Carlton Davis is either. So I don't know what he's talking about, this new culture. I will say this, Lee. I looked it up. 7 starters from the Dallas playoff game. 7 are no longer on the roster. Never mind not even starting. They're not around. So, Lee, for a team whose roster really has stayed intact for the most part, we are going to see big, big changes this fall. Maybe that's what Carlton Davis is talking about. But if he thinks he's going to step into Tom Brady's cleats, Lee, he's got another thing coming.
Well, here we are. It's June. Tom Brady's gone. It's a boring team. Fans don't like the coach. So here we go again. Got to invent nonsense. Cold. Just enough. I don't even want, just, no. Just don't get me, no.
You know, Steve, this reminds me of when somebody, I think it might have been Roy Cummings, when Gruden was at the, you know, at the podium, and Roy said, how do you define swagger, coach? Swagger. And Gruden looked at Cummings like he was from Mars. He goes, I'll tell you what swagger is. Put the guy in front of you on his ass. That's swagger. Yeah. I don't care any other, you know, definitions. So, Lee, all this talk about culture, it's all nonsense. Doesn't mean a thing unless
an example.
You got to go play good football.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of culture. Last year with Tom Brady, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette, who, by the way, was one of the best yak guys in the NFL. Really good yards after catch. With those weapons, only three teams had fewer touchdowns outside the red zone than the Bucs. There's your culture.
Inexplicably. Inexplicable. I don't care how unimaginative Leftwich was. That's inexcusable.
Ira, Tristan Wirfs said this week that Todd Bowles, in his exit interview, right, the players go in after the season, coach tells them a couple of things, maybe tells them something to work on, and they get out. In Wirfs's exit interview, he said Todd Bowles told them, we're most likely going to make you left tackle next season. What do you make of that timeline? And do you think that Todd Bowles and Jason Light told Donovan Smith the same thing in the same exit interview? Right. If they told Wirfs, did they tell him, don't tell anybody? Or do you think they told Donovan Smith, hey, man, you're probably out of here?
Steve, it's the worst kept secret, in North America that Wirfs is moving to the left side. They had decided they had enough with Donovan Smith. They were done with him. I'm not going to blame the Bucs. He was a strong warrior for a lot of years. He was very good for a couple of years. He was better than okay for most of his career. Lee, I love how Jason Light tried to hedge his bets. Well, nothing set in stone, he told Steve. But everybody knew that Wirfs was moving to the left side if he could handle it. And yet it was hush-hush. And apparently Wirfs knew, the day after the season ended. Donovan Smith, I'm not sure they told Donovan Smith, Lee. I don't think they have to. I think it was clear that they were moving on without him. And I'd be shocked, Lee, I would be shocked if Wirfs doesn't make the move to left tackle. It would really surprise me.
Well, I mean, it's already a done deal. So, unless something, some left tackle falls out of the sky, it's a done deal. It's well documented what I think of that. I try not to get going.
You're not alone, Lee. You're not alone.
I'm not saying it will be, and I pray to God it won't be. But if this blows up in the Bucs' face, this may go down as a Bo Jackson, Doug Williams, Steve Young franchise-crushing stunt.
Well, Lee, they're not going to lose the player, Lee. They're not going to lose the player.
I'll just give you an example. I don't know if I've said this before. You know how much I worship Whitey Herzog. Yeah, I know. He hasn't managed since the 80s. Ancient history. I know it's baseball, not football. But I'll just give you an example. For anybody under 50, there was this baseball player Whitey Herzog had when he managed the Cardinals. Guy by the name of William McGee. Really good hitter. Borderline Hall of Famer. I don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but some people do. All right.
Very, very fast.
But at any rate, he had an awful swing. Awful batting stance. Awful swing. The first time you see him, like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with this guy? Well, I think his second year with the Cardinals, spring training in St. Petersburg, Herzog had hired a hitting instructor or some assistant coach. And the very first spring training workout, he sees McGee at the plate. And he's like, I'll fix it. And he starts walking toward him to change his batting stance and everything. Herzog yells at the guy, leave him alone. Meaning,
Leon,
I'm good. Don't screw with him. That's an example of, in a vacuum, nothing bad should happen with Tristan Wirfs. That's a vacuum. We don't live in a vacuum. We don't work in a vacuum. The Bucs don't play in a vacuum. I don't know if this is going to screw him up or not. And I just go back to the motto that's ingrained in my DNA. Don't fix something that's not broken. And there sure as hell wasn't anything wrong or broken with Wirfs at right tackle.
Lee, everything you said is right. Everything you said is right. However, all things being equal, Lee, and you'll admit this, if Wirfs is just as good on the left side, you'd rather have him on the left side. All
if
things being equal.
Yeah. If he's that good, sure. But I just personally, as good as he was at right tackle, we're talking Hall of Fame material, I don't see any benefit of messing with that. What if the benefit of making right tackle a lesser position and then moving over to left tackle? I just don't understand it. And oh, by the way, let's forget that Luke Getke sucked at left guard. I know this is a sensitive subject for some people at One Buck Palace. He sucked at left guard last year. He's a rookie. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But all of a sudden, he's supposed to be this great right tackle. At any rate, here's the drama about Werps I find intriguing. And I'm going to ask him, I said, when did you start thinking about moving to left tackle? And he said, well, you know, my exit interview with Todd Bowles. I was like, wow, okay. And I was wondering when the Bucs came to the decision about Donovan Smith. And Noah, I agree with you, Ira. I don't think Donovan Smith knew, because once he found out he was no longer with the Bucs, he scrubbed everything Bucs related from his social media accounts, which is the 21st version of a breakup with a girlfriend. You delete all the photos. So there's no telling from his social media accounts that he ever played for the Bucs. You know, I'm sure he's real proud of that ring he got. Here's more drama about Werps. Now, I didn't ask the question. I think it was Kevin O'Donnell asked the question. Initially, were you cool with moving to left tackle? Did you notice the pause that he had?
Tried to collect his thoughts. Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, almost, I'm not saying he was covered up for something, but he was thinking of the politically correct answer. He's a great teammate. He told Bowles, wherever you want me to go, I'll go. As an awesome teammate. I think the world of Tracy Werps. But I'm not so sure he was cool about this.
You know, and Steve, to be fair, he did describe in great detail the adjustments that are required to shift from right to left. Doesn't mean he can't do it. Doesn't mean he's not going to be great. You know, he's a rare specimen. We know that. You know, let's not take for granted the adjustments that have to be made. Steve, one quick point. About the shift of Werps. Tell me, Steve, if you think this could be a factor. Once they decided we're moving on from Donovan Smith, they looked at the roster, Steve, and you could make the argument that they had a discussion and said, we don't have anybody that could play left tackle except for Werps. We don't have anybody. And maybe with the idea that Gedeki can handle right tackle, but he can't handle left tackle. We're not putting Hainsey there. That could be a factor, too, Steve, looking at the roster and saying, you know, it's not going to be easy to go out and get a left tackle.
I found it very interesting for a couple of reasons, Ira. One, the timing, right? So you've just poured everything you have into a season. You just prepared for the Cowboys, night game, playoffs. You laid it all on the line. You lost. Season's over. When did you, like, have a meeting to decide that Donovan Smith's out? I mean, it feels like they decided that in Thanksgiving. I mean, it's kind of a weird thing to, like, you know, they certainly could have had Werps' position coach get in touch with him in a month or so and say, hey, organization is leaning toward making you left tackle. We need you to start preparing. It was the timing a little bit interesting, to say the least. I polled the fans, Ira. I want to know if this surprised you or not, Lee, as well. I just simply asked them today, do you like the move of Tristan Werps to left tackle? 60% said yes. 24% not sure, and 15% no.
I'm not surprised. I think the inclination of Buck fans is to go along with decisions that come out of one Buck place. Lee, they're only a couple of years removed from freaking Vince Lombardi Trophy. They've earned some credits, Lee. They have. The front office, the coaching staff as a staff. So I think fans are inclined to go along with their decisions. Steve brought up a good point, Lee, about the timing. I don't think they were going to tell Werps a month before the end of the regular season. He didn't need to be thinking about that.
No,
Lee.
No.
You know, while they're in some kind of a division chase and a fight for the playoffs.
And I'm like, Steve, I'm like, when did you make this decision? You know, you're supposed to be they were fighting and clawing for a playoff berth. And then they wound up, you know, hosting a wild card game. And all of a sudden, less than 24 hours, they have to get their rear ends kicked. Like, oh, by the way, Tristan, you're probably going to be in left tackle. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Where was all this preparation? But here's some more drama with this enlightenment that Werps was told right after the season ended. Remember John Spytek right after the draft? He confessed the team was trying to get a tackle. I don't know if that was right tackle. I don't know if it was left tackle.
It could have been a right tackle, Lee. Could have been. Clearly, Steve, clearly. And I think it happened quite a bit before the end of the season. Maybe a month watching Donovan Smith on tape, week after week, struggling, personal problems, health issues, which were legitimate, and struggling. And I think basically, you know, Bowles and his staff, light involved, perhaps even the Glazers, the decision was made well in advance, Steve, by the end of the season, they were not coming back with Donovan Smith.
All right, Sage, now I got to throw this past you. I was saving this for a while, and 2 weeks, here's Bruce Arians coming on a football show hosted by Dan Cilio, of all people.
How the hell did you find that, Isbitz? How did you find that? Unbelievable.
And there's Arians 2 weeks ago. Dan Cilio asks Arians, what has Mayfield brought to the Tampa Bay offense? And this is Arians' reply verbatim, Ira. You ready?
Yeah.
A little fire. I think we needed a little bit of fire on offense. But you got to go back and look at Kyle Trask on May 23rd. He had a great end of practice. So it's a nice battle. You got two young guys who I think are extremely talented, and they're doing a great job. Arians went on to explain that he thinks Mayfield's leading the race. He said Baker has been there and done that, and has, I think, a little bit of an edge just because of that leadership and having been in the huddle with pro guys a lot. But the guys really respect Kyle also. Quote, I love Baker. I think he just brings a charisma and a fire to your offense. What do you make of all that, Ira?
Well, Steve, I go back to the Arians dinner before his golf tournament, which was maybe about 5 weeks ago. He was there. Bowles was there. And we talked to Arians about Mayfield and Trask and the competition. It was clear within 10 seconds. 10 seconds. Arians is a Mayfield guy, and he has been a Mayfield guy. He's very carefully to not denigrate Trask, not leave Trask out of the conversation. So he's very gracious that way and inclusive that way. But Lee, you don't have to read too many tea leaves to realize that, these guys are not starting from the same starting gate. Lee, they're not. You've said it. I've said it. The best way I can say it, Lee, is Trask has to have one hell of a training camp to sniff that starting job. That's just the way it is. Arians knows it. I think Bowles knows it. I think Trask, I think Light knows it, even though I don't think Light would mind that much if Trask won the job. Wouldn't look bad on Light's draft resume. Wouldn't. Of course, then he's got to go out and play well.
Yeah.
To finish the job.
Hey, Ira, wait a second. Sage, wait a second. And I understand completely. You're talking about Arians, which you had that chat with him, I believe it was April 24th, a few days before the draft.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So this is a whole month later, and they've both already been in OTAs, and you got Bruce Arians out there saying that he's in the lead, that he's got a bit of an edge, and that he loves him. And, do you think the organization wants Arians out there saying this? Plus, what do you think about the Brady comment? A little fire. You had Tom Brady as your quarterback. Last we saw it, Brady was screaming at everybody. What's going on here?
You can't shut up Bruce Arians. I mean, you can't, nor should you. Now, Lee, remember, I'm the guy that sat down with him at the bye week and, asked him if Leftwich deserves all the criticism, and his answer was absolutely not. Nobody wants to say it, but Brady wasn't playing well. I mean, the organization didn't approve that message either. But he said it because he's Bruce Arians, and it's one of the reasons we love Bruce Arians. As far as the shot at Brady, Steve, I don't think you're wrong. He didn't mention Brady by name, but he's talking about a position under center, and he wants fire. And Lee, for whatever reason, we got to be honest, some of the fire was a little bit missing from number 12 last year.
You saw the clips of him at San Francisco, didn't you?
I did, but just... something was missing, Lee. Something was missing. And I guess, whether you have to go back to the 10 days of training camp, I still can't get over it. The commitment, that reflects commitment, Lee. It does. It does.
It's not like you're talking about John Wofford here.
I know, but Lee, barring, some kind of health issue with your family, who the hell misses 10 days of training camp? It's just not done, Lee. It's not done.
Sprained an ankle. Would you be saying the same thing? Oh, he's not on the field, and he's away from the team. He can't get on the field. He's got a bad ankle. That's going to mess up the chemistry. No, you're not going to say that. You're not going to say it at all. So, I just think we're making a Mount Everest out of a grain of sand here.
Well, I just think it was a peek into his mindset. He just wasn't as committed as the, you know, the classic Brady, fire and brimstone. Steve, I'll say this. You know, I don't think Arians' mind's taking a pot shot at Brady. Obvious. Now.
And that kind of backs up the stuff that, you know, we've heard. Strictly rumors. We don't know. But that kind of backs up some stuff that we've heard. How about this? You know, taking what Arian said verbatim, I don't know if he was actually taking a shot at Brady. What I mean by that was, who has more fire with the Bucs quarterbacks? Mayfield, Kyle Trask, John Wofford? Well, you know, we're kind of splitting hairs here. But if that's what he was talking of, big if, of course, then I don't think that was anything outrageous. But, of course, you know, everybody's going to connect that with Brady. He says, oh, they need some fire. Whoa, wait a minute. You know, yeah, Brady, what are you talking about?
Steve, this so-called competition, it's going to be a big story at the start of training camp. And I think about 2 weeks at the training camp, it's not going to be such a big story.
Ira, do you agree with this? Trask is going to have to force Bowles to play him so well that there's no way they can pull him off the field.
Lee, you're right on target because you always follow that up in terms of this competition with the way Bowles has to look at this season. You're absolutely right, Lee. And he's going to make the call. I mean, you got to let Todd Bowles make the call.
He's
the head coach. I mean, if you're going to let the Glazers make the call, I mean, what kind of coach are you? But, Lee, you're right. Given Bowles 4 straight losing seasons, for him to trust, you know, his future in the hands of a guy that's thrown 9 balls, it sounds very iffy.
You know, I know you're connected. I know who you talk to, and that's why you're the most reliable Bucs source out there. Have the Glazer family ever ordered a coach to play someone?
Well, Lee, maybe when Winston's suspension was over and they didn't immediately put him back in the starting lineup because Fitzpatrick was playing well. Maybe in that case.
Well, Sage, one of the most famous phone calls in Bucs history was when the Buccaneers were in England, I believe, 2009. And Raheem Morris was seen on the bat phone calling Team Glazer right before Josh Freeman made his debut performance. So I don't know if you remember that, but that was what really raised a lot of eyebrows there. And Raheem said, well, I wanted to tell the owners what I was doing, you know.
And Steve, here's another example. At the end of the 2014 season, Steve, the infamous Saints game finale, when the Bucs were winning like 20-7 at the half, and the number one pick in the draft was up for grabs, and all of a sudden, Lovey takes out Levante David, a couple of other starters.
Yeah,
that definitely could have gotten down from the Glazers. Could have definitely.
Yeah, they ordered the Code Jameis.
Yeah, they did.
Sage, this came out over the weekend. I wrote it up, and it made a lot of national waves, and it speaks to the Baker Mayfield-Trask competition, so we got to get your wisdom on it. Dave Canales did a podcast with your friend Scott Smith of Fox 13, and he said on there that the quarterback competition is partly just about respecting Kyle Trask's process, that, you know, he's been here for a couple years and, you know, he's working hard and he's worked for the opportunity, and we want to respect that and give him a chance to compete. I listened to that a few times, Aaron, and I was like, damn, that doesn't sound like the offensive coordinator saying this dude can really spin it and we can't wait for these guys to go head to head. And we want feedback from the receivers, and this guy's a player, and I think he can start for somebody this year. It was just a weird thing, like, hey, we don't want to hurt Kyle's feelings, and we also want to make Baker Mayfield earn it. What do you think of that?
I think you're exactly right, Steve. The phrase that comes to mind is professional courtesy. Professional courtesy. Trask deserves an opportunity because Lee, this is not Tom Brady coming to town. This is Baker Mayfield. Now, I'm higher on Mayfield than a lot of Buck fans are, and certainly a lot of national pundits are, because I don't think it would be a shock if the guy plays well this year. I don't. He's in his prime. He's done some things in this league, and he's got two great targets to throw to. I don't think it's crazy. Is he going to do worse than 18 points a game? Lee, really?
Yeah.
So anyway, I think Steve's exactly right, and those Canales quotes are very telling, Lee. They're very telling. Yes, Trask deserves his shot, but read between the lines. They're not on equal footing. They are not.
For the Trask fans, we're just punching the wall listening to us. I'll try to be positive here because I know you're wanting positivity, even though I don't see a whole lot, and I'm not going to manufacture something just to make people feel good. Last week, he had the best breakfast I ever saw from him. I didn't see him do anything outstanding, but what I did see is no mistakes. Is that a backhanded compliment? I'm just telling you what I saw. This week, he got a lot more snaps than he did the previous 2 weeks. I didn't count all the snaps. I didn't, nor do I. But previous practices that I saw, Mayfield got maybe 70% of the snaps. And the last 20 minutes of each practice, I think it was split half and half. Now, this last practice, this week, I would say the snaps were pretty close to 50-50. But Trask had more snaps, let's put it that way. He didn't have more snaps with the first team, but he had more snaps. Now, if you want to read into that, whatever you wish, go ahead. There's your Kyle Trask report.
Steve, one thing that I think we skip over a little too much, and obviously we're focused on the quarterback situation. It's the NFL. It's quarterback. Steve, we touch on it. We'll have to do more in a future podcast, but I don't know. Lee, I look at that backfield. I look at it. I stare at it. I look at those names, and I see White. I see Vaughn. What I don't see is enough, Lee. I just don't see it.
I agree with you, Iron. They had the worst rushing attack in the NFL last year, and what did the Bucs do to boost that? This Chase Edmonds character running for 250 yards. I don't consider that's Dario Ungabali stuff. That's a body. That's a jag. So I'm not going to get excited about that. So this Jason Light has a lot of confidence in White, and you could tell at the combine he all but said he thought Keyshawn Vaughn was not used properly. So I guess he's got a lot of confidence in those guys. And I guess we'll find out come September if Canales is that much better than Leftwich, or Leftwich was that clueless. There's going to be a lot of answers about Leftwich in about 2 or 3 months.
Sage, just building on what Lee said, I think it's just an addition by subtraction thing. I mean, they believe, okay, Canales knows how to set up a running game and to call it and get it done. Leftwich didn't. Okay. Rashad White, they believe, better than Leonard Fournette, and that's going to improve the running game. Keyshawn Vaughn didn't get a shot. Now he will. They like him. I know what you're saying, Ira, but you can still have a good team with a running game where guys average 4 yards a carry, which is not great. It just doesn't suck. And if you can scheme it right and they get some big bodies back and know what they're doing a little bit better, there's no reason why they can't have the 20th ranked running game. I'm sorry. It should improve quite a bit. If they can't, then there's a serious problem with how they evaluated all aspects of the offense. But I feel like they better get back to 20th, 21st, and that's not a very high bar.
And Lee, drilling down on the run game, overall, it's been terrible. But one aspect that's particularly troubling and crucial, and they got to get better at it. And I don't know if Canales has the answers or whatever. Third and short, they stink. They can't make a freaking yard. Lee, how many times did I sit next to you in that press box on third and inches and say, you got to let Brady give the ball to Brady? And they did it a couple of times, not nearly enough for my satisfaction, because they were lousy at it and Brady's great at it. And you can't tell me they don't want to get Brady hurt diving into a pile. I mean, come on, Lee. He's not going to get hurt on that play. They got to get a hell of a lot better on that, Steve. A hell of a lot better.
Ira, just so your listeners are aware, and you're right. You sat next to me in the press box, and you often said, this is Brady, third and short, let's go. you said that almost as much as you asked, where are the Cuban sandwiches?
And where are the deep balls, Lee? Where are the deep balls?
Lee addressed the Kyle Trask fans. I get why people are fans of Kyle Trask, and you could be fans of both quarterbacks. I think you don't have to take a side here. And I know there's a lot of people who think, hey, play Trask. If he sucks, you get a draft pick. If he's good, then you got him on the cheap next year, and you got a lot of cap room to work with, and you can build off that and go from there. And what are you going to get with Baker Mayfield? I get it, but I just want to tell those fans, for just personally, just stop it. Stop it. You know, I'm one of those fans who wants to win games, and I think a good program is one that wins games and adjusts on the fly without having a tank to succeed. I want the best quarterback on the field in week one. I'm not interested in playing games. It would be one thing if Mayfield was 38 years old, but he still may be on the rise. How many quarterbacks in this league have, you know, blossomed at 30 and moved on? There've been plenty over the years. I mean, it doesn't happen every year, but it sort of does. Geno Smith being the guy last year. So, you know, I want to tell those Trask fans, stop it. Just want the best guy for week one, and it'll all work itself out.
You're not wrong, Steve. And I think Geno Smith's the great example. Of course, Canales involved with Geno Smith. Geno Smith hadn't done till last year anything close to what Baker Mayfield has put on tape. Nobody looked at Geno Smith and said, oh, wait a minute, he's got a past history. He's shown he can belong if he's got the right coaching. No. He had done nothing. Zero. He had a hell of a year, Lee. He's got two good receivers, and the Bucs got two receivers, who I think are at least the equal of Seattle's tandem. I mean, they're good. There's no question about it. Lockett and Metcalf, very good. But again, I don't think it's crazy that Mayfield has a decent year. Lee, the one thing that would trouble me as a Buck fan, and Lee, you've mentioned it time and again, I don't think it bothers Steve that much, but Lee, another 8-9 finish. That NFL purgatory, Lee, it's brutal.
Yeah.
Unless it's 8-9 with Mayfield having a good season, that would make a difference. But if it's 8-9 with you got no quarterback again at the end of the season, then you're nowhere, Lee. You're nowhere.
Yeah.
Well, if Mayfield has a good season and they go 8-9, Ira, that means the defense is awful. And what do you need Todd Bowles for if you can't have a good defense? So. It goes a lot of different directions, Sage. I was having a conversation with somebody recently, and I said, curious what you think here, Ira, since we're talking about factions of fans, right? So there are the Kyle Trask fans, and there's also the people, a big part of the fan base wants Todd Bowles out on the next bus to Michigan, you know? And what do you think of Rex Ryan being the next Bucks head coach? The reason I say that is two reasons. One, he interviewed with the Broncos this year. He wants back into the league in the perfect situation. And the Bucs defense is built to be a blitzing kind of thing. And that's Ryan's defense, similar style approach to defense of players that would be attractive to Ryan. And the Glazers love sizzle. And Ryan brings a lot of sizzle, a lot of swagger, a lot of interviews, a lot of attention. What's your thought as we sit here in June and dare to speculate on the next head coach?
Steve, you come up with some stuff, I'll tell you. My first thought is, Lee, you know, look, the guy's a very good defensive coach, but Lee, I'm not convinced Rex Ryan's a better defensive coach than Todd Bowles. Are you? I mean,
no.
I'm not. He's had more success, Lee, I think, to be fair, as a head coach than Bowles has. He has.
That's not saying a whole lot either.
He's got sizzle. Steve, I got a feeling that if Bowles doesn't last past 23, if he doesn't, I think it's going to be an offensive guy and with all thoughts about a young quarterback. Lee, that's the way I look at it.
Rex Ryan definitely brings sizzle. He'll be anything but boring. He'd be a dream for us three. But as a head coach, his offenses, especially in Buffalo, were just dreadful. I mean, they were like Dungy throwbacks. It was just awful. And the Glazers are well aware that in the NFL in the 21st century, you don't win by running the ball. You just don't. Matter of fact, Ira, I saw something the other day, I think it was from Warren Sharp, that the more a team runs on first down, the worse they are.
Oh.
Yeah. he wrote a story about analytics for the 33rd team, and I'm pretty sure that's where I read it, that the more you run on first down, the less you win.
Interesting. Steve, I think if Bowles, you know, again, if Bowles doesn't survive, I think the Glazers go back to an offensive coach. That's the way I look at it, Steve.
All right. Well, that's why you are the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira. That is the deal. Lee, Rex Ryan, I had this conversation. He actually got a ton. They actually had a good offense up there with Tyrod Taylor. He got the one really great year out of Tyrod Taylor. I got to give him credit for that.
With the word name Tyrod Taylor.
I just looked it up to double check that it was Taylor's good year. Ryan had the 12th ranked offense up there in his first year. So I got to give him a little credit, but he is a run the ball first guy for sure.
Lee, I'm seeing some stuff on Twitter. I don't know where it's coming from about, you know, some thoughts, just initial thoughts about putting a dome in Jacksonville. And now, you know, somebody asked the question, would you want a dome on Raymond James Stadium? Let me have the first vote. No. An emphatic no.
The renderings they have for the renovated Gator Bowl is sort of like what whatever the hell they're calling Joe Robbie these days down in Miami. Every year they change the freaking name. But they got shade for the fans. They got shade. And that's what Jacksonville is proposing with the redesign of the Gator Bowl. And I don't think they're talking about a dome. And I agree with you. No dome. Because you get dome, that means probably turf. Although they could have like the birdcage in Arizona. They could pull it out. Las Vegas does the same thing. If they could do something to, you know, give people shade to sit under, that would be awesome.
That's a great idea, Lee, especially the ones on the east side of the stadium. No question about it.
Sage, before I hit you with the last question here, our thanks to Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Great deals are there. Check them out. Don't go anywhere else first. Sean Sullivan is there for you. If you have a question, he's the GM. He's also the host of the Best in Class podcast. He dove into all the undrafted free agents on the Bucks in the last podcast. And there's a new one this week and more coming. BillCurryFord.com. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. We all have it in our phones, in our laptops. That's where you go. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Now, so you know, so it's part of your disaster plan. Anything happens in your home, fire from an electrical panel, you know who to call. You don't want to get ripped off at your property by the insurance companies who are looking to get you. You need help. You need an offensive coordinator. That's Florida's Elite Restoration. And Big Storm Beer, drink it responsibly. Just drink it. It's delicious. So many varieties. Bromosa, Wavemaker, Amber Ale, BigStormBrewery.com. Ira, I am in the camp of Bucks fans who are ready to throw the wager down as soon as the Dalvin Cook trade goes through, or whatever happens. If he goes to the Dolphins, it may be done by the time this podcast is listened to. I am throwing my money down. I have faith that the Bucks will help the odds there by holding Justin Jefferson under 100 yards with all that time to prepare, which means when that happens, the Vikings are just a barely average team. I'm ready. Are you ready? Am I crazy? What's going on?
You take Dalvin Cook out of the equation, and to be fair, I think Cook has slipped a bit. I think he's still a quality back. I'd rather have him out there than Rashad White. That's just me, Lee. I think he might be a little past his peak. But if you take him, you know, as that ground threat to complement Cousins, you know, who's not bad, Lee. He's not bad, Cousins. People like to slap him around. You know, I think he's like, you know, maybe the 12th best quarterback in the league. It's not bad. You know, they score points. And they win close games. At least they did last year. But Jefferson stirs the drink. And I love Steve's point. Take Cook out of the equation. Turn that pass rush loose on Cousins, who doesn't move that well. Put Carlton Davis. Challenge him to do a job on Jefferson. Lee, that doesn't mean hold the guy to two catches for 12 yards. I mean, let's be honest. Lee, the guy is arguably the best receiver in football. I mean,
yeah.
You know, healthy Cooper Kupp gives him a run for the money. Devontae Adams. I mean, this guy's in the mix, Jefferson. He's fantastic. Lee, didn't Steve make a point the other day to what he was talking about when I mentioned Julio Jones was number one in receiving yards a game, and Steve looked it up, and Jefferson's number one all time. Yeah. And Jones is number two. So you don't accumulate stats like that by accident. The guy makes acrobatic catches every week. But I'm with Steve. Winnable game. The Bucs will be significant underdogs. They will be. I don't care who wins the quarterback battle between Mayfield and Trask. That's not going to move the line. Right now, they're a 7-point dog at mini. By the way, they went 8-1 at home last year, Lee. 8-1. But I think Todd Bowles would do a backflip if he didn't have to prepare for Dalvin Cook along with Justin Jefferson. That would be a big, big factor in that game.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, you mentioned Rashad White. I'll just say this real quickly. I talked to Rashad White after practice, and I asked him, I said, you know, I think we can all agree he had a disappointing year last year. Had one really good game, and that was it. And I asked him, I said, was that offense last year built for you? Was that able to highlight your skill set? To his credit, he said, I can't say that. You know, I thought he was going to say, yeah, you know, I could have been used differently, or I could have done this, or I could. He didn't go there. He said, I can't say that. I thought that was very big of him.
Steve, I'm looking for backs who make guys miss, and I didn't see enough of that from Rashad White as a rookie. Lee, I'm not sure people at One Buck Place would agree that he had a disappointing rookie year. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure Light would say it. I'm not sure Bowles would say it. I'm not sure the running back coach would say it. I thought he was okay.
I don't know if he was okay. And I can't, you know, just by the numbers alone, there's no way I can say he had a good season. And I can't even say he had an average season. He had one good in my eyes. I mean, did he contribute some? Sure. But, you know, that was a play here or a play there. It wasn't like a consistent four quarters, let's say, or even three quarters.
Sage, I just think it's a developmental thing. You know, he was a rookie, and they saw what they wanted in practice. They saw what they wanted in attitude. They feel enough on the field, enough bright spots, and they think he's going to make that leap and be a good number, a good second-year player. You know, I can't blame them for that. We just haven't seen it, at least here, that we believe, but they see it. So, okay, look at Charles Sims. He did absolutely nothing his first year, and was absolutely dominant in a complementary role in his second year, you know, with big numbers in the passing game and in the running game. So it does happen, and that's what they're looking for. That's your guy, Ira, Charles Sims.
He fell off the face of the earth along with Doug Martin. Both of them, Lee, gone.
Well, to Sims' credit, didn't he get nerve damage of some sort, and that pretty much did him in?
Yeah, I never thought he was a number one back, Lee. I never did. I never thought he was number one.
About him. I thought he was Barry Sanders.
But I liked him as a complimentary guy. He had that one season, Lee. One season. And by the way, Lee, speaking of Rashad White and having a rookie year, running backs as rookies, they can make a big impact. It's not it's not that hard for a running back to have a big rookie season. It's not.
You're correct.
Well, he's going to get his shot. Ira, say goodbye to the good fans of Tampa Bay. Last thought, or are we out?
I got a cast on my arm, gentlemen, but it's not stopping me from tapping out columns. My tennis boys think I should be playing with a cast on my left arm. That's not going to happen. So we will have one more podcast, guys, before mandatory mini camp, when all eyes will be on one Devin White. Are you showing up or are you not showing up?